Good morning. It's a great day, isn't it? I've got good news for you today. I told someone I was going to be preaching this morning, and they said, "Are you going to give them hell?" I said, "No, I think I'm going to try to give them heaven." And I do have some good news for you today. First of all, if you missed last Shabbat, you missed a wonderful sermon that was in the context of Sukkot. Claire Fawn, who is here today, really it was a masterpiece. The good news is, if you missed it, the good news is that you can find it online. Go to www.narkees.org and listen to it. It's always great to see Claire because she's just has a wonderful way of presenting things. But also, if you hear the word, she has a great way. And I really almost covet, but really envy, the gift that God has given to her in communicating the word. And it really was in the context of Jesus during the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. So be sure to listen to it if you haven't listened to it. And if you've listened to it like me, go back and listen to it again and again. My wife said last week, "You didn't take notes." And I said, "Are you think I'm only going to listen to this once?" So it was a great message. So that's the good news. Another part of good news is that it is warm today. It's 35 degrees, which is about 95, actually, for those of you who are not centigrade or Fahrenheit. It's about 95 degrees. 2 weeks ago, I was in Damascus, and it was the temperature in the car read 102 as we had, and I knew we had a long day ahead of us in the city. It was 102, and a week and a half from now, I'm going to be going to Iraq. And I talked to our pastor in Baghdad, and I said, "Well, what's it like there now?" And he said, "Oh, it's 60 degrees today, which is 140. So hopefully, it'll be a little bit cooler." But the good news is, it's supposed to. Actually, by Thursday, be down to 24, which is 10 degrees less centigrade, 20 degrees less Fahrenheit. So that is good news for all of us. I say that just to kind of put this in the context of this message, because some of us who live here realize that this August was perhaps as far as the recordings have been going, it was the hottest August in history. Today when I saw the weather, little weather channel, yes. Here, I don't know about worldwide. I'm talking about just Israel right now. Yes. So I looked at the Weather Channel today and I saw that fact. And the picture under it actually was a lake of fire. And it said it's the hottest August. And I believe that it's been really warm. And we've had teams here and we've been working a lot of physical labor. And it has been a very, very hot summer. But good news, it's going to come to an end. But those of us who have been here a long time realize that the summers are hot and the winters aren't terribly cold, but they are very nice. And when the rains start coming, we all rejoice. With that in mind, I kind of wanted to get into our message this morning and talk about this land. Often when it's so dry like this, we go through drought conditions. And I think Israel has been in a drought for several years now, because this is not, even though it's been one of the hottest summers, it's not the only hot summer. We've had a drought conditions for a long time. But this is not new to Israel. This is not new to this part of the land. In fact, you can even go back to the time of Abraham. And Abraham, it tells us there was a drought. And of all places, Abraham went to Egypt. Now, I go to Egypt occasionally, and I can't imagine wanting to go to Egypt because there's a drought here. It feels just as even hot, more hot, and also drier there in Egypt. But Abraham went to Egypt during the drought. Well, another drought came about when his son Isaac, right after Abraham had died, and his sons Jacob and Esau had already started their sibling rivalry, and another drought came to the land. And the scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 26 that Isaac took his family and his group, and he went, and he was headed southeast. Southwest. He was headed southwest. It says he went to the land of the Philistines, went to the area of Gerar. I don't know how you pronounce that, but I think it's in the land of where about Ashkelon and Gaza are today. And he went to King Abimelech. Now, Scripture doesn't really tell us why he went to Abimelech. Maybe he was trying to get permission to go on to Egypt, because in the context here, it seems that he was on his way because God stopped him there and told him to stay there. He said, "Don't go into Egypt. So stay Stay here. Stay in that land of the Philistines. Stay there. So he went and he met with Abimelech. And God told him if he would stay there, that he did not need to go to Egypt, but if he stayed there, he would bless him. And he would also, the covenant that he had given to his father Abraham was still in, still applied to him today. And that God would bless him and he would fulfill that covenant that he had made with his father Abraham. Well, the story goes that God did bless Isaac. They had land, they had crops, they had food, and of course the Philistines became very jealous, very envious of what they were doing, and they started doing what, and really it was pretty good strategy, because I think if someone wants to destroy an enemy, they would go and fill up their wells. And so it says that they went and they filled up their wells so that they wouldn't have water to water their crops and water to drink. So they went and they filled up their wells. So Isaac then moved on to the valley. Now valleys also, you know, the dryness and everything, valleys have always to me kind of been a symbol of low times, going through difficult, challenging times. And so Isaac takes his people and he goes on out to the valley. But in the valley, he went out and he redug some of the wells of his father, Abraham. And the scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 26 that they found fresh water there. I asked Richard when I took this drink, is this water fresh? Because I've had some stomach trouble sometimes before by drinking some water that wasn't so fresh. But the scripture tells us that they went out, they redug some of the wells of his father Abraham. And that had been, some of them had been neglected, some of them had been filled in by the Philistines. And they found fresh water there. Well, they prospered again. And they prospered enough again to where the Philistines became frightened, because not only was their success, they were successful, but they became very powerful. And so Abimelech goes and he meets with Isaac because they were afraid. And he said to them, I don't want you, you're getting to become so powerful. I don't want you destroying the Philistines. So they made a covenant with each other. And Abimelech goes to Isaac and he says, please, let's make a covenant with each other that you will not harm us. Again, Isaac, it tells us, and I remind you, that he had redug some of the wells of his father Abraham because the enemies had tried to defeat them by filling in these wells. How can we possibly apply this today? As I've been reading this passage the last couple of weeks and preparing something to say, there has been a lot of spiritual application for me personally in this passage. You know, we live in, and those of you who are visiting here, this is the Holy Land. But you know, it's desert land. You don't have to go very far outside of Jerusalem to realize that we are in the land of the desert. But we're not only in a land where it is dry physically, but even though it's the Holy Land, it can also become very, very dry spiritually. We've had groups, as I've said, this summer, and all of us do, and I tell you, the first thing I used to tell my kids was drink lots of water. They would want to go on hikes. They would go to school. Drink lots of water. Make sure you're drinking water. Make sure you're drinking water. And usually when we had a group, and the first thing I said in the morning before we prayed, before we did anything else, I would say, have you drank a lot of water this morning? Be sure to drink a lot of water. Spiritually, we also can find ourselves in a desert. And we can find ourselves here in a desert, even though we do are surrounded by all of these different holy sites, as Christine was reminding us about. And it is easy, as it is easy to dehydrate physically, it is also very easy to dehydrate spiritually. It is easy to dehydrate spiritually. Christ, the living water, said that he wants to supply abundant life to us. But in that passage in John chapter 10, where he said he came to give abundant life, he said the enemy has come also to steal, kill, and destroy. In the same sentence, Jesus says, I have come to give life and give abundant life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he reminds us, as the same thing that happened with Isaac, there are enemies out there that don't like when God is at work in our lives. They don't like the fact that God is real to us. And so sometimes they come and they try to fill those wells that have been full of the fresh running water of the Lord. So the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, one of his techniques is to fill up and to close up the well of living water within us. Sometimes our wells dry up for other reasons. They run dry because of neglect. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. In the scriptures we read, and I know we may have different theologies about this, but and that's okay. I'm not speaking a theological message from my persuasion today, but I'm talking about how the scripture talks often. And Jesus himself talked about the possibilities of drying up and the possibilities of drifting away, of maybe some would call it backsliding. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, he speaks about false messiahs who will come to deceive. And many people who had been persecuted, and there had been those who were out in the desert, Jesus said, many will turn away from their faith. They will betray and they will hate each other. Because of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. We live in a time where there's a lot of wickedness. The news, my good news today is good news because we don't have to listen to the news very long on TV or pick up a newspaper very long to read the bad news of the day. So sometimes this causes people just to get discouraged. And, you see people walking around with sad faces thinking, oh, boy. And it just causes people to drift and to lose hope. In Revelation chapter or in the book of Revelation, where Jesus is giving a message through John, when John is in this having this vision and the Spirit of the Lord comes to him. And he speaks to him about giving a message to the church at Ephesus. Now, Paul had written to the church at Ephesus. Paul had been there. They were dear to his heart. He had prayed for them that they would be deep in the Lord. They would be strong in their faith. They were a church that, in fact, when Jesus describes them through John here, they were a church that were working very hard. They were laboring for the Lord. They had endured hardships. They had persevered during hardships. And they wouldn't tolerate false teaching. A good, strong church. A good, strong body. And it was the church at Ephesus, the one that that Jesus was addressing here. John, Paul, when he had written to them and he closed his letter off, and you can look at this in the book of Ephesus, when he closes this letter and, you know, he says, peace be unto you. He says, peace to you who have an undying love for Christ. Peace to you, the church with the undying love. And then Jesus, the thing that he has against them is they had left their first love. They had left their first love. Their well was drying up. In Galatians, there were those who had known God and but they were being enslaved again to legalism. I know we may have different interpretations of Galatians, but I do believe that it's very, very clear that those people were being enslaved again to legalism, to the law. They were being enslaved again, and they had lost their joy in following Jesus because they were focusing on other things. And Paul prays that Christ would be formed in them. Christ would be formed in them. That's the way he prayed for the church, the Galatian church. Some become overwhelmed by the things of the world. Maybe the things of the world become attractive. Maybe they have lived so close to the world that they don't identify anymore what's of the world and what's of the kingdom. There are some that even try to live with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. The writer of the Hebrews again, he or she, whoever it is very clear about in this passage about people who need to be mindful of the things they've taught. In the second chapter, he says, be careful to pay attention to what you have been taught. Be careful to pay attention to what you've been taught so that you do not drift away. Now, this idea is a boat just kind of out in the water drifting. And if it's not anchored, who knows where it's going to drift away to. And so the writer of the Hebrews says, be careful that you do not drift away. Also in chapter 10, he says, be careful that you're not just swerving. When you're swerving in a car, you don't really have very good control. I saw a kid the other day in Jerusalem, and he was kind of playing, and he was kind of flipping his wheel back and forth like this. And eventually he lost control and had to slam on his brakes. But I thought, you know, how often people just don't pay careful attention, and we have a tendency to go like this and that instead of walking the straight path. In the book of Habakkuk, the prophet says, My righteous will live by faith, and the Lord says, my righteous will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Talks about shrinking back. Yes, there are scriptural references of people who have their spiritual wells have run dry. Now, what causes our wells to run dry? Just simply, maybe they are not dug deep enough. If you go out in the desert, you've got to dig your well, not just till you first find water, not till just the water appears, but you've got to keep digging until you're sure that the water is fresh and that the water is living. Also, neglect. Neglect can cause a well to run dry, not taken care of. Or it could become full of dust or dirt or something, the garbage that just flies around here. And a well can become dry because it is filled with other things. And it's been neglected. And also there are outside influences. Outside influences, as there was in the case of Isaac, it said the Philistines actually filled up the wells of his father Abraham. They actually came and did it. The enemy closes them up. Or they contaminate the wells. And that can happen to us. There can be people who intentionally try to distract us in our walk with Christ. There are things that can distract us and will distract us in keeping our focus on Him. Our spiritual wells also, we have to make sure that we're digging them deep enough. We have to make sure that we're going deep enough in the Lord and not just this shallow relationship where we occasionally have a walk with Him. But we have to go deep until the living water is actually flowing within us. Some have tasted, they've enjoyed, but yet they've not really consumed. We've got to make sure we're consuming the living water that the Lord has given to us. Like Jesus was talking about the seeds that the sower is sowing. And he says there are some seeds that fall on the rock. On the rocks, they're received with joy, but they don't have roots. And so they don't last. They don't have roots. So sometimes our wells become dry because we're not letting our roots go deep into the Lord. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Not just a little part of it. Not just an occasional address to Him or an occasional word to someone. Oh, I love the Lord. But it's loving the Lord with all your heart. I love the song that Liz played at the offertory. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I think that's felt by those of us who really do love Him and know that we love Him with all of our hearts. It's not just words that we're singing. And also spiritually, we neglect the Word. We neglect things that cause our wells to run dry. Spiritually, we neglect the Word. I like this idea, or I one thing that for me really helped me was when I realized that Abraham, or that Isaac, had redug the wells of his father. He went back to the basic wells that he knew were there and that were full of water, living water. We have to go back to the basics. Back to the very basics of our faith. Oh, there are a lot of new ideas out there, and I have a library full of stuff, and it's helpful, it's good, but it is not helping me when I do not go back to the very basics of my faith. When I go back and do not redig, as Isaac did, redig the wells of my father Abraham. We neglect to hide God's word in our hearts. This is not just something for us to read for entertainment. It is entertaining. It's wonderful to read it. I read this passage over and over again, and it was almost like I read it enough to where I could picture it. But it is much, much more than entertaining. It is something that we are to hide in our hearts. And when we neglect God's word, this is really basic. One of the very basics that we've got to make sure that we are into and that we're putting His word in our heart and they're walking according to His word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. That's one of the very basics of our faith. That's one of the very basics. Getting back to digging, redigging those basic wells. We don't dig it deep enough, or we neglect the Word. Also, our time in prayer. I think my wife and I have been married almost 37 years ago, and she's away this week. We're supposed to have our first grandson in the next two or three days. So she's in Paris with our daughter and son-in-law. And so while the cat's away, the mice will play. My wife is away, but she and I started walking together and praying together about 5 years ago. We've always prayed together, but not like we do now, where we walk an hour every day and we pray on our prayer walk. And the Lord's given us a great place to live over by the Tayalet where you're going to have the prayer meeting. So we get to walk and pray on there every day, not just on special days. But prayer has been, it's been something that has, our marriage has just grown so much, but also in our own personal lives. This morning I walked alone and I prayed that whole walk. And when we neglect time with the Lord, our wells run dry. Our wells run dry. If we turn off the faucet, the water's going to stop. So that's why we've got to keep the faucet, got to keep that line open between us and the Lord so that we do not lose that time. That fresh water will keep coming to us. Also, I wrote down here tithing, and I'm not going to mention that. I did just mention it, didn't I? I'm a pastor and a preacher, so you know I've got to mention that. But also, we neglect sometimes to give what belongs to the Lord anyway. I think it's a very important thing that spiritually, I used to, and I don't anymore, but I used to ask people when they came in and they were having trouble in their marriage and trouble in their home and trouble with their finances. I asked them, are you putting your tithe, bringing your tithe into the church? And usually when they were having financial troubles, they weren't. And anyway, that's just a little commercial, I guess. Another thing that has really struck me in reading this, something that we neglect, I was reading again in Hebrews chapter 10, where he's talking about the sacrifices and bringing our worship into the church, coming into the synagogue or coming into the place of worship with our sacrifices. Also, he says, don't neglect the assembling together. Don't neglect coming together. I've met people who said, I can walk with the Lord and not have to go to church. Or I don't have to get together with other believers. In fact, I enjoy non-believers sometimes more. And some of us do. And I think it's great to have non-believing friends. But the scriptures are clear. Say, don't neglect coming together. Assembling together in unity and in love and in forgiveness. This is a house of prayer. Yes, this is a house of prayer. It's also a house of praise. It's also a place where we come together to learn, to we read God's Word and hear someone explain God's Word, to teach or to preach. And all of that is what we are. But more than that, it is also a place where we can come together, where men and women, and all of us are, who have been fractured or we've been heartbroken by circumstances or events in our life, where all of us come from different walks of life to come together and find and communicate God's grace and His healing and extend that to each other in the Lord. It's a place where we can come together and we can understand each other and we can care about each other. A place where imperfect human beings come together. None of us are perfect here today. None of us are. Yet we come together and we've all got a past. We come together to share the fact that we come from different walks of life, from different backgrounds, but we come together to care for each other and to accept each other and not judge each other. I asked my wife if I could ask the worship team, and she said no, to sing a little song this morning. It's a little kind of a little chorus. And then I asked Brittany, and she said no. And I asked Yoni, and he said sure, but I'm not going to have him do it. But it was a song that I ran across a couple of weeks ago, and it's a little tune that I can't hardly get out of my... You didn't prepare it yet, did you? It's a little song that's been going through my mind. Once you hear it, you can't hardly get the tune out of your mind. But it kind of describes to me what the church is. And yet the song is a theme to something that's not at all having to do with the church. But it says, making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And you're always glad you came. And you want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Well, that's the theme for a comedy in the States. Those of you who are not American, sorry. But it's the theme to Cheers. It's a very, very popular comedy. But the tune is very catchy. But it says, wouldn't you like to just go? Isn't that what we should be? Isn't it a place where we come and we know each other, we care for each other? In fact, Cheers is a natural place. It's not a church, it's actually a bar. In Boston, that's why my wife said no. But it's a place where people would come together and they came from different backgrounds, they shouted at each other, they cared for each other, but they knew each other's names, they knew that they were all heartbroken people, they were all crippled people, and yet they came together and they were there to encourage. And when I read this passage in Hebrews where he says, don't forget and don't neglect coming together, but come together for the sake of encouraging each other. For encouraging each other. So when we come to church, we don't come together just to pray, although that's essential. We don't come together just to hear the word of the Lord, but also we're supposed to go up to someone and encourage them today. We're supposed to go and try to encourage them in the Lord and find out about them and know their name. Wouldn't you like to get away? You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. We often talk about family. We used to sing that song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And I like that song. And I like being a part of the family of God. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. But sometimes families can be challenging. I know I grew up with two sisters and a brother. And we're close. But I've got some friends that are probably closer to me than they are. I think the greatest compliment Jesus really ever paid to his disciples when he said to them, I call you my friends. I call you my friends. And he knew their names. And he knew they were coming from broken lives. He didn't judge them and keep reminding them all the time, well, I know your past. I know what you did before. But Jesus called them friends. I went back this week and I read the relationship of David and Jonathan. A beautiful, beautiful story of friendship. And the reason why I wanted to just share this little bit in here is because the last point of this friendship. First of all, it said David and Jonathan became one in spirit. They were soulmates, a word that we like to use. They were soulmates. They were kindred spirits. They understood. They got each other. They loved to hang out. Also, Jonathan interceded for David. When David told him that he thought his father Saul was going to kill him, that Jonathan's father, he went and he tried to plead with Saul and tell him that David was a good guy. And then he goes back to Jonathan or to David and he tells him and warns him that his own father, that Jonathan's father was going to destroy him. So he warns, he intercedes. And then they submitted to each other. They were committed to each other. They said, whatever you want me to do for you, I will do. And then he said, and the Lord watch between you and me forever. Forever. I remember the first time I ever heard my little, our youngest daughter sing. She sang a duet in church. The only time I've ever heard her sing publicly, because she's kind of our shy one. And it was a little song that says, friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. Friends are friends forever. And then people talk like that, friends are friends forever. And I think, you know, that's really what David and Jonathan were declaring to each other. And then the last point here about their friendship says they helped, that Jonathan helped David to find strength in the Lord. Jonathan helped David to find strength in the Lord. And isn't that what our encouragement is supposed to do? It's not just to make someone feel good, but to try to encourage someone to find strength in the Lord. And when Jonathan was killed and his body was taken over to Beit Shan, and Jonathan grieved and he cried out, you were so dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful. So friendships, that's what we come together to declare our friendship and to submit to each other and to encourage each other and to not judge each other, but to rejoice in God's grace and help people to find grace in each other. I think it was Brennan Manning that I was reading this week, and when he talked about the heartbroken and those who are shattered, they come together to find grace and healing in each other. Evil associates also sometimes have more influence on us than we have on them. I'm all for getting to know our non-believing neighbors. I'm all for hanging out with people who are not like us. I've got some very, very good friends who are Muslim, some who are Jewish, and some do not believe in Jesus, but I have good friendships. We're committed to each other. And my prayer is that they will find strength in God through our friendship. But one thing in making those kind of friendships, I have to make sure that they don't have more influence on me than I have on them. But my relationships to them must also be redemptive and redeeming. So we can't, we have to realize that Christ himself associated with evil, and with evil, he had evil associates, but he changed them rather than the other way around. But sometimes that can also cause our wells to dry up. When we let the evil influence, or those who are evil around us, we have let them have more influence and our wells dry up. So what do we do? I've talked to us a little bit about how thy wells could draw, but what do we do if we're in that place where we find ourselves out in the desert? Spiritually, physically, we can come into an air-conditioned room and it feels good for a little while, but that's not going to hydrate us. That's not going to dehydrate us. You've got to drink water. You've got to drink water. You can get into the coldest room. You can sit on an ice block, but it's what you've got to put inside. It's what you've got to put inside. You've got to rehydrate. And that doesn't happen from outside. Back to the foundations. We have to go back and, in a sense, redig the wells of our father Abraham. get back to the very basics of our faith. We have to get back repentance, cleansing, obedience, giving attention to those things that we have neglected. Giving attention again to those things we've neglected, examining ourselves. Kay and I, as I said, we pray together and we pray the alphabet, and it's our way of doing it, and I think the Lord is pleased. But when we get to X, there's not too many things that we can pray for that start with an X. So it's usually examine our hearts. And that's, I know it doesn't start with an X, but it does in our prayer life, it does. Examine our hearts. X-ray our hearts, Lord. Let us search our hearts. But it's time that we have to get back and we have to redig that well and see what we've neglected, why we become dry. We have to be filled with the very Spirit of Christ. Let Him live in us that life of obedience. Let His Spirit fill us and live that life of obedience and holiness within us. You know, in Ezekiel, and all of us, probably it's one of our favorite passages, where the valley of dry bones, where the bones start rattling and coming together, the bones all joined up, the muscles started joining together, and the ligaments and everything just started. The structure was formed, and it was a perfect structure, but it did not live until God blew His breath into the structure. And in our own lives, it can all look good. We can all do what's expected of us, but it doesn't really work until we have let the very Spirit of God blow His breath within us. The dry bones came to life, and they were not just people walking around, but it says they were raised up as a mighty army. Okay, the last part of the story with Isaac, he had made this covenant with Abimelech in Beersheba. The day after that, the servants all came running in and they started shouting. What did they shout? We have found water. We found water. We have found water. Today, my prayer is that when we leave here today, no matter what kind of desert you've been through, I can't promise that when you go out that door, it's going to be any cooler. You're going to go back out there. But drink lots of water. But one thing, in the grace of the Lord, you can find water here today. You can find water, and your spiritual well can be replenished, and it can be a well of living water. And if you're going through a desert, maybe through one of these other reasons, or maybe you have your own reasons, if you're going through it, today, the servants, those of us who are here with you, loving you, caring for you, knowing your name, listening to you, we're here today to help you to find that living water. And we'll come shouting. We can go shouting out these rooms. We found water. We found water. And I pray that every single one of us here today will be able to give that testimony that I found water today.
I think it's beautiful how the Lord orchestrates the different components of our time together. With Jeff's word about the personal renewal, went along perfectly with Lyndall's message of discovering afresh the living water that we also desperately need. And I've been going through kind of a desert myself, and just trying to read the scriptures, started to get drowsy. And I'll take the scripture and I'll pace the floor, or I'll do like they do down at the Western Wall, start to bob or anything to get through the chapter. And I realize that it's something that I need that word. And whatever it takes, if you take standing on your head, do it. Because we're in a time that without the Word of God and without His Spirit, without waiting on Him, we won't make it. Let's all stand and sing the song, Lift My Cup, Lord. A sign of our helping one another and encouraging one another. Maybe you can take the hand of your neighbor and let's sing that song again. And as a sign of our Father, we bless You for the cup that You've given each one of us, that if we wait on You and we seek Your face, that You will fill our cups and fill it to overflowing, enough for our neighbor to be blessed by as well. We thank you for the message. We thank you for these reminders through song, through testimony, through the spoken word, that we are going to return to those wells that have been plugged up, those wells of our forefathers, and find fresh renewal and fresh revival for each one of us. We bless you. We thank you, Lord, for these reminders today. And Lord, we pray for that one that doesn't know you. We pray that they'll open up their heart to know you as life eternal. Father, make the new birth, the miracle of the new birth happen today in hearts and lives across this auditorium, we pray. And heal, we pray, those hurts and those pains and those areas of our existence that have been keeping us down, keeping us under. Lord, give us fresh life, life anew. In the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Greet one another, bless one another. Get to know the new people amongst us. Amen.